Well, as I said, we're going to be in about a five-week study, and this week we're talking about listening to each other. We will talk about listening to God, and we'll talk about forgiving each other. We'll talk about submitting to each other. And then last, we'll talk about teaching the next generation and trying to point them to Christ, but also point them into what it means to have a godly marriage. We've been doing a study on raising godly children, being godly parents, and now we want to talk about having a godly marriage and how do we go about that. And so before I came to Ebenezer Welcome, I was doing some supply preaching as I was talking to the group there on the search team, and we talked for about 6 months, and I was doing some supply for a church up here in the mountains, and they said one Sunday, "Preacher, we want to talk to you after service and talk to you a little bit about the possibility whether you might would consider being our preacher." I was like, "Well, I'm already talking to someone, and I don't really like to do that. I'm just trying to supply for you guys." And they said, "We just want to talk to you." And so we began to talk a little bit, and they began to talk about their needs and what they desired and everything. And so they talked a lot about theology and those things. And so through the course of the conversation, I began to ask them, I said, "Well, I want to ask you some questions." I said, "You know, if just say, for instance, the Lord led us here, is how many of you guys would be willing to be trained and equipped and to go out and share the gospel with those that are lost?" These are leaders of the church. And I'm not throwing off on any particular church or anything like that, but one of them finally spoke up and said, "Well, preacher, you need to understand something now. We do things a little different up here in the mountain. Is, you know, we kind of tend to stick to our own, and we don't necessarily go knocking on doors and going door to door visiting." And I said, "Well, I don't want to call anybody a liar, but there's not a lot of truth to that, because there's some large families up in here. And, you know, even if you married your second or third cousin, there still had to be some communication going on that you had to go and go through a little courting time period. You had to introduce yourself and introduce what your desires were and this kind of thing. So communication had to happen." You know, and that's a large part of sharing the gospel, is communicating the truth of the message of the gospel verbally, but also through our actions and with the way that we share that with a heart of love towards the individual we're sharing with. And you'd say, "Well, preacher, why are you talking about the gospel?" Because when we talk about marriage, it is a representation of God's bride and God in the sense of marriage. In that sense, is we represent that holy matrimony when we come together and unite. And we do that within the setting of the body of Christ and within the church. And we do that with all these witnesses to say, we want to commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Lordship in our home. And we want to surrender to that Lordship. And we want to come together in a way to honor God with our marriage. And so as we talk about that, the first thing is that you marry someone that is a believer. And that you surrender to the Lordship of Christ in your home. That the two of you actually become one. Now, part of that process is the interesting thing of dating and communicating in those ways. And I counsel with couples that are wanting to be married. I tell them quite often, you know, I know you're going to tell me, "I couldn't love her anymore if we were married 50 years. You think that. I really do better this morning if I had some of those been married for a long time to come up here and just give some testimonies about what we're talking about today, about listening to one another. Now, I know we have our own way of doing that. Sometimes we can look at it and we can think, well, they seem to argue a lot. But they have their own way of communicating. But the main thing is that we take the time to listen to one another and what we're saying. But also we need to be very careful to listen to what's not being said, because somewhere between 60 to 90% of all communication is nonverbal. And the guys, I know some of you may be half asleep this morning, or you got other things on your mind, but you need to listen up right here. Because I'm telling you, I've raised a boy and a girl, and I've been married for 33 years now. You're never going to figure a woman out completely. We are totally different, and a lady's never going to figure you out completely. God created us in his image, but he created us different, and he also brought us together. Now, I want you to think about that when you're thinking about your bride, or you're thinking about your spouse and what a knucklehead he's been. Or, you know, when you often say, you hear women say, "men." And men will say, "women," you know, when they get frustrated. But the Lord knew what he was doing, that he created us different when he created us in that sense. But he also created us for each other. And he also gives us instruction in his word how we can work through some of those communication gaps of our differences and how we can do so in a way that will help enrich our marriage, that will strengthen our marriage, and that will honor God. And I want to challenge you today that if you're in a situation where it seems like you're constantly in an argument, is that you need to listen very well and you need to begin to spend some time in prayer too. Because if the two of you have become one, you know, you're hurting yourself when you argue with one another. It's like you're arguing against yourself. Do you ever think it that way? Sometimes you think, I'm arguing with her, I'm arguing with him, but you're really arguing against yourself if you have become one. And so as we look at the scriptures this morning, I want to begin in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and really learn how to know your spouse as best we can in a way that we can try to love one another and honor God and that we can live together in peace and in joy. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, Peter says, "Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, as he is speaking that, I want you to understand, first of all, that the Lord is a God of communication. I mean, we read in Genesis that he spoke everything into being that is this created. He spoke and it happened. But we also read in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." So God speaks to us through nature, revealing his glory and his splendor. But let me just say this too, is man and woman created in the image of God, God is a communicator and so are we. And we were created to communicate with God and to communicate with one another. You know, when you go to the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and you read the stories there in Genesis, it's something that we should be looking forward to one day when we get to heaven, is that the Lord walked with them in the cool of the day in the garden, and he spoke with them, and he talked with them, and he taught them things, and he as they were together, they fellowshiped together, and then as they were together there in the garden, they spent time getting to know one another and to fellowship there in the garden, all before sin entered into the earth. And so when we think about that, I think about the dating process and how, you know, a guy and a girl, they begin to be introduced to one another, or they meet one another and they begin to talk and they begin to find out things that they have in common. They begin to talk about things that they want for their lives and the goals and the plans that they have, the visions they have for their life, all those things. And as that's happening, hopefully within the context, too, of the fact that they're followers of Christ, is they're being drawn together because the Lord brings us together as husband and wife. And so with that we are beginning to see a life together and how that life could be. But we're also preparing, as it talks about, as we take our marriage vows, we're prepared for better or for worse. And whatever may come, that we plan to be together, we plan to stick together and try to help one another. But as Peter is speaking here, he's challenging the husband, but I want to say, ladies, too, very easily it could say wives, because this is a word to both men and women. As he's speaking here, he says, "Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, as he says, dwell with them with understanding, that's one of the ways that we get to know each other also, because I tell couples when they come together and they've been dating and she's living in her parents' home and he's living his parents' home, or they're a little bit older and they're living separate and they're talking about getting married and moving in together. I said, well, you need to understand, people like to talk about the honeymoon period. There is a honeymoon period there, guys, and it ends rather quickly sometimes because of our own laziness or thoughtlessness and those kind of things a lot of times. And we begin to reveal ourselves for who we really are, is what I'm trying to say, whether you're man or woman. And people don't realize, a lot of times we kind of tend to play these little games when we're dating. We may not even think about it consciously, but you're always trying to put your best foot forward and show your best side. But The longer you're around someone, especially when you travel with someone and you start to stay with someone, you begin to see sides of each other that maybe you never saw before. Now, maybe you saw that in some of your buddies as you were growing up and traveling, doing things. But with your new spouse there, it comes to a point where you begin to realize there's some things maybe I don't like about their nature or the way that they do things. And so part of it is you begin to want to think, I'm gonna try to change them. You know, and a lot of times, ladies, I want to say this, will marry a guy thinking, well, maybe he's not a believer now, but I'm going to try to change him. I'm going to try to get him saved. Listen, only God can change us in those ways. And there's some ways that only God should change us. There's other ways that we do begin to adapt and change. You see, the other thing is the longer a couple's married, when you see the one, you think of the other automatically. But the other thing is you see a lot of similarities in their general natures in some ways, but yet you see the differences. And so it's interesting how God brings us together that we can be so different in some ways and yet so much alike. And so as we come together, those differences are what kind of begins to cause some of the problems. As we get to dwell with one another and spend that time with one another, we get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. I tell folks a lot of times, the only person that knows you better than God is your wife or your husband. They know most everything there is, good or bad, about you, just like the Lord. And, you know, so as we're looking at this and talking about it as well, is that he gives that ideal of dwelling together and you get to know one another. But he says giving honor to the wife. You know, what happens a lot of times is once we begin to dwell together and we see things that are negative to us and that we don't like, we begin to verbalize our displeasures. And that we begin at that point to say, you know, you need to change this habit. You need to do this and this. And then that way we can get along. And, you know, that may have worked in some small areas of life as you were kind of playing the game dating, because each of you went back to your respective homes. But now you're living together. Now you're husband and wife, and you've got to try to figure this thing out. And some of you still remember because it hasn't been that long ago. And for others of you, you kind of look around laughing, remembering some of those days and the things you did. One of the things you learn is, you know, to be very edifying and uplifting in your conversation when you're asked about something too, is when Peter is talking about getting to know your wife here by dwelling together, he's not talking about just by knowledge. What he's also talking about is by experience, because in the Greek that word to know means as much to know by knowledge, but also to know by experience, to learn one another. And you do have to learn different things about each other that sometimes causes differences or problems within the marriage. And how do you deal with those things? He says here that we are to honor, for giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Now, you know, a lot of times, and Peter, if you think about him, a lot of times Peter's known for stepping out, putting his foot in his mouth before he thinks. But Peter's been married for a while. He's writing as a man who is married here. And Peter's probably put his foot in his mouth with his wife on many occasions. But when he writes here to give honor to her, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. We know that. But he's also given us a word here to say, love them for who they are. And who God made them in the woman that she is, love them as that person, that individual. You need to get to know them and what makes them happy, what hurts their feelings, what makes them sad, what brings them joy, all of those things so that you can then try to love her and try to encourage her and try to honor her as your wife. Now, here's the other thing you need to think about, because sometimes when we want to change our wives, it's like, well, don't be so sensitive about things if you get into an argument. You know, men just, they're all about communicating goals and the things they're trying to accomplish and all these things. And a lot of times a lady is just wanting to be heard, and she's wanting to be know that she's been heard and that she's appreciated and to be considered in the conversation of what's going on. And so you think about it, men, a lot of times ladies grew up with a best friend. And they did everything together. They talked about everything together. They shared their secrets and their goals and their visions, their hopes and their desires, all those things with one another. And for the guys, a lot of times we were communicating what was the next place we want to go to, what it was we want to do, what it is we want to accomplish. And so we're kind of coming from two different areas here. And so now you've come together, and what she's looking for, really, to be quite honest with you, and what Peter is saying we need to give is we need to give her that affirmation like she received from her friends, is saying, you know, you are beautiful. You are godly. You're a good mother. You're a good wife. All of those things to reassure her of your love for her, but also to give her affirmation that she is seeking to do the right things and going about it in a way to honor God, and also to uplift her husband within the marriage. And so he's saying that we are to honor them. And think about this: when we dishonor our wives, it's like we're just sticking a knife in ourselves too. I don't know about you, but when we get into a confrontation, if it becomes something verbal or whatever, is the thing that I hate is if I say something that I know that is hurtful to my bride because I love her, I don't want to hurt her. And the other thing is, it's like I know it hurts me too because I'm hurting her. Now, I'm being very transparent here, but this is to all of us here and to the ladies as well, is we need to think about those things. You know, one of the things when we first got married was when we get into a conversation about what was right and wrong. I married a very godly lady, and I was talking about marrying someone who was a follower of Christ. I was not a follower of Christ. I was used to living in the world and those kind of things. And I'll be honest with you, it's by God's grace that after a period of time I got saved. But until that point, there was a lot of conversations where I'm trying to live as I knew the things of the world, and she's trying to live for God and want our marriage to be that way and want our family to start that way. And so as we'd have those conversations, she started begin to confront me about this and whatever happened. And I would say, you know, I'd get real quiet. But the other thing was, then after a while, I'd say, honey, you're right. And she's redheaded, and I love her, but we were young. At that point, she didn't want to hear, you're right, and I'm sorry. She wanted to argue. She had done got it to the point, at that point, she was wanting to argue. And I say that lovingly and jokingly, but at the same time, you know, what I realized was the Lord did bless me with a godly wife. And guys, we need to honor our wives. We need to love them and respect them and appreciate them for the way that God made them. And with that, there are many times when she called me down like that and she confronted me, I needed that in my life. You know, sometimes we tease about different people trying to be Holy Spirits in our lives. That's not your wife trying to be your Holy Spirit. What she's reminding you is this: what you say and what you do and how you act affects me just like it does you. Because we're one. And if you're not acting in a way to honor God and to show love and respect to people, whether it's to her or to others, is she calls me out on that. And she has every right to do that. And sometimes we can get resentful about that because we can think, well, you know, I don't need you telling me this. But here's the thing. If they know us better than anyone, who better to confront us in love and tell us what you said or what you did is wrong and you need to apologize? And that we honor them and we show them that love and that respect is what Peter's describing here. And he says, as to the weaker vessel. Now, when he says that, some would say, well, because the man physically is stronger, that sometimes he might physically or emotionally or verbally take advantage of or abuse a woman as a weaker vessel. And there's a lot of truth to that, because sometimes even when we don't really mean to, we look at things one way as a man and they look at it differently. And if we don't know our wives and we don't know them intimately enough to know that if I say this, it's going to be like I slapped her. Even though I didn't lay a hand on her physically, it's that kind of hurt that it brings on them. And we have to be aware of those things. As we're looking at the scriptures here, we want to consider them as the fact that we have agreed that we're willing to die for them. And so we're looking at it as we're to protect them as a husband, as it talks about in Ephesians, and to be willing to die for them just as Christ died for the church. Well, if that's the case, then they are that weaker vessel, or is what some would translate a more precious vessel. And I'm going to tell you, men, I love y'all and I love your brides, but I'm going to tell you, some of them are a whole lot more precious than you are. Whole lot prettier, but certainly more precious. And when we think about that, you know, you think about she is a reflection of you. And so when she is out in the community, just like it talks about in Proverbs 31, when she's working and she's doing things and she is representing you and your home and she's representing the Lord as she does that, is that we need to respect her and protect her, honor her as that weaker vessel. And so Peter gives us that word of admonition as men to do that. But he says also as being heirs together of the grace of life. As your sister in Christ, you should esteem her above yourself. You should love her. When our daughter was wanting to date, she wasn't quite 16 yet, and there was a young man from another youth group she was participating in at the time, and I already knew they were talking to one another and everything, but within the context of the right environment and all, that was okay. But they had been told, you can't date until she's 16. So he called me when she turned 16 on her birthday and said, I got an older brother. He's got a girlfriend. If he's going to drive, we'll know if it'd be all right if Aaron and I could go out to eat and if we could go somewhere. And he said, I want to ask you that. I said, well, I want to tell you something. Your father's a deacon. He's a godly man. But if he hasn't already told you, that's my daughter. And she's your sister in Christ. She can go out with you, but you better respect her. You better treat her with honor and respect. Because if your daddy doesn't take care of you, if you don't, I will. Listen, I got to rise and fall to protect my daughter and my wife. But that young man, when I see him today, he's married and got a child. But when I see him today, he comes to me and, how you doing, Mr. Ganey? And I love the young man. Fine, godly man. But you see, you have to respect him. You have to love him. And as he describes here about being heirs together, he's talking about being children of God. You know, you're talking about a godly marriage. You know, as your sister, you need to try to lift her up and encourage her for who she is in Christ. I'm very thankful that I have a very godly lady as a bride. I saw that in her before we married, even though I was not walking where I needed to be. I saw what I wanted in a wife, in Kim. Guys, I want to tell you something. As you're looking for a bride, if you're here today, you need to be looking for a godly woman. I know a lot of times you look at them and say, if it's a pretty girl, it's like, wow. But you need to remember, too, that it doesn't matter what they look like on the outside. It's what they look like from the inside, with a pure heart and clean hands. Those committed to Christ. The next thing is not only to know your spouse and to acknowledge her for who she is in Christ, but also over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30, always speak edifying words. In chapter 4, verse 29 and 30, the scripture says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification or building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, a lot of people read that and they think, well, this is just referring to people in general, and it very well can be. But of all people, should it not certainly apply first of all to our spouse? Is that we should not say things to them to degrade them. We should not say things to them that are in belligerence. We should not say things to them that are off color. We should not say things to them that are not honoring to God, to make false accusations or blame them for things or any of those things. We should not let a corrupt word out of our mouth. But yet he says, but what is good for necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearers. You know, I would be willing to tell you that nearly 100%, if not completely 100%, of all marriages that end in divorce would not end that way if it had started with in the things that I speak into the life of my spouse, I want to speak words that uplift them rather than tear them down. Because it starts with little things in the home. It starts with the little snips here and there and the conversations back and forth of, you know, when you get to the little small petty arguments really over nothing. And from there, it leads to larger things that end up leading to separation and divorce. But if it was a matter that when we came together and we had conversation, as we sought, first of all, to uplift rather than tear apart. See, this, because of our sinful nature and our flesh, is when someone says something to us, and even if it's the truth and they're trying to speak the truth in love, sometimes we can respond in the flesh and we can say something mean and hurtful. But especially when we're not walking with God as we should be and we're confronted, then certainly we try to lash out and try to defend ourselves in some way or justify ourselves in some way, and it begins to become hurtful toward, a lot of times, our spouse. And that leads to a further breakdown in the marriage that begins without wholesome conversation with one another and conversations that's designed from start to finish to lift each other up. You know, the other thing, and I'm not going to get too much into this, but the differences of men and women is women typically, I've got the exact numbers, but something like about 5,000 plus words a day that the average woman likes to communicate or tries to communicate. And for men, it's a lot lower than that. And you can see the differences already, right? And I'm just saying for the average man, not all women, not all men, that's just the averages. But here's the kind of thing is, you know, you go to work and you work and you work an 8, 10, 12 hour day and you come home and you're tired and you got other things to be done in the home and you got to have dinner and all those things. And the average couple typically is kind of want to start the conversation, well, how was your day? And you start in the conversation and, you know, you go through a couple quick things and it's like, I don't want to get in a long conversation, so we had this, this, and this, and that's it. And you're thinking, okay, we're done now. But you've done all the talking. And you're just saying it like real clear, like, I don't want to talk, so I'm going to share with you the basics and that's it. Well, then you finally say, well, honey, how was your day? And she begins to go from the time she got up till she goes to lunch and till afterwards, and then everybody that she talked to and maybe what the conversation was. And I'm not saying that's all of it. And I'm not picking on Kim. I'm just saying, y'all don't think I'm just talking about Kim on this. I'm just saying in general. But with that, you know, guys, you can have a tendency like the news is on or sports are on. And she's finally talking, and it's like you're not listening. You say, oh, I'm listening, but you're not really listening. You're kind of half-heartedly listening and trying to give a word to her, too, with your body language is, I'm really not interested in all them people's problems. I just want to see what's on the game or the sports, right? That's men. That's why I think a lot of times we bring a lot of this on because, guys, I'm really trying to speak to you to listen real hard today and try to have a chance for repentance, is that you turn around and you start listening. Is, like I said earlier about that girlfriend that would listen to every detail of every dream, every vision, every bit of her heart, is you now are that person that is affirming her or should be affirming her. And part of it is you at least be willing to listen to what she has to say. But you know, when you find out you're not really listening, is you're watching just a little bit of the news or the game and she's just stopped talking and she's looking at you. And you look over and say, I'm listening. She said, no, that's all right. Or she just says, you don't even know what I said and you can't repeat it and you're busted. You know, there's a time just to own up and say, listen, I'm sorry, I got distracted. But let me just say it's a whole lot easier to click that TV off and just have conversation with your bride. Or, you know, the hard part when you have children or you're in a business, let me just say this too, there's a lot of folks here, been a part of a business, for a family-owned business, and I'm a pastor now, and there's times you have to take the call. I understand that. But there's also times you're in the middle of something with your family or a conversation with your bride. You just need to let it go to voicemail. You need to turn that phone off if they keep calling back. They'll wait. The most important ministry, the most important part of your life is your bride and your family. It ain't your job. It ain't these people with all these other problems out there. It really ain't problems a lot of times. Is you need their, they need your attention just like everybody else does. And so with that, you need to set aside those times where you are spending time with them. As we're talking about the time with them as well, when he says to dwell with them and get to know them, young couples that are dating, they spend a lot of time together. But what happens a lot of times too is you get married and then all of a sudden along comes little Johnny, little Susie, and you get busy trying to raise them and you're working and she's helping take care of the kids and she's working maybe and trying to take care of the home and the things that need to be done, and you get very busy. And young couples, you need to listen to me here. Is you need some date nights. Maybe you need to plan a couple's retreat for a weekend. Or maybe you just need to plan the couple being you and your husband go off for the weekend without any other distractions. Grandma and grandpa watch the kids. Whatever. But you need to build in those times, because every one of you sitting here have been in the same situations when we were raising kids. You start into a serious conversation and you're listening to one another and you're trying to complete the conversation, and all of a sudden the kid comes in and it's like, we'll finish this later. And later gets later and later and later, to where it seems like it was an important conversation. We need to have it, but yet we're so busy raising the kids and we're so interrupted so many times with the kids. You need to plan times for communication to happen. You did it when you were dating and pursuing one another. And let me just say that too, is you should never, ever stop pursuing one another. Part of pursuing each other is that you are listening to each other and spending time together, communicating your hearts together. If you're doing that early before you get married, you begin to know each other in a way. It helps when you're going through those times with the children, but you still need to be intentional to plan those times together. And so with that we're always speaking words of edification. But the other part of it is that we need to be very careful to practice the art of listening. And in James chapter 1, verse 19, it says here, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, as we hear that, again, we often think of these words from the Lord and from his servants of describing our brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe those that are not believers, those that are we work with, that we don't get angry with them quickly, but that we will be slow to anger. And, you know, that's something I struggled with, and even at times now I've struggled with, not as much as I did when we first married, but I'll be honest with you, I mean, it runs in our family, but just to be quickly angry. And, you know, that's where of most times I used to really hurt my bride the most with things I would say. And now I catch myself to just want to step away a lot of times, or just give it a time to cooling off period or whatever it may be, rather than just speaking in those ways. As we're seeking that, it says, every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, I was given this instruction as part of a challenge when I became licensed to preach years ago. Someone thought that was a main part of it, and it is. As a minister of the gospel, you need to be willing to listen to people share, but you also need to be slow to anger and slow to wrath, because it says the next thing is that when we are that, it leads into righteousness. But you see, that righteousness needs to start in the home. It needs to start with our relationship with the Lord individually, but it also needs to start with that relationship with our bride. As we look at that, the law and those first five laws that were given are vertical, our relationship to the Lord, and the last five are horizontal, describing our relationship with others. Is it how we can be honoring to God and we can be pleasing to God, and yet we can also be loving and kind and gracious and esteem others in that way, and it begins in the home. But as I think about this too, you know, and he's talking about some of the ways that we can do this, there's four ways I want to share with you. First of all, it's been said that God's given us two ears and one mouth. We need to speak less and hear more. You know, too often we don't take the time to stop talking, to listen. The other thing is, again, we need to pay attention to what's not being said. Body language, facial expressions, eye contact, all those things that tell us sometimes they either still have more to say or they're not going to say anything right now because they're hurting so that they don't want to go any further in the conversation. And so we need to be willing to pay attention to that, but also we need to practice listening to the Holy Spirit. God wants us to give us wisdom to minister to the uniqueness of our spouse. He knows our spouse in ways greater than we do. You know, we think we know him, but God created him. He knows everything about him, and he knows more than we do about him, even though we know a lot. But we should practice praying even sometimes during conversations. Now, I will say, as I later became a follower of Christ and things began to change, as I still understood that my bride was right, and I got quiet. A lot of times I wouldn't argue with her, but I would spend time and just praying, Lord, would you help us resolve this situation? She's exactly right, and I was wrong. And I want it to end, but I also want to understand I'm not trying to patronize her. I'm not trying just to give her an answer she wants to hear. I'm not trying in any way to dismiss her or in any way continue the conversation to be an argument. But she's right. And you're right. And I agree with that. And so with that, to ask her to forgive you. You know, we'll be talking about forgiveness coming up too, but that's one of the things we all need to be willing to do is ask our spouse to forgive us when we do fall short, when we do sin against them, or do we do sin against God in ways that we dishonor them and we don't bring glory to God. And so with that, James just says, be slow to speak and slow to wrath, but swift to hear. We need to practice not only listening to the Holy Spirit, but we need to practice speaking less. The scripture says in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. In many relationships, people talk too much and therefore listen too little. And so if God is a communicator and we're creating his image and we are to be communicators, we need to understand that God speaks often, but he often listens and observes. And too often as men, listen to me, men, too often as men, we want to fix their problem. And that's not what they're coming to you for. They're not asking you to fix their problem or make everything right and all those things. They just want you to hear and to know what they're going through and to join them maybe in prayer. There may be a time you need to step in to help them with something that's a problem. But the main thing they want to know is that you're going to listen and you're going to help them pray. And you're going to pray with them that they can find a resolution to the problem and that they're seeking to work through that. And they just want you to be a part of it. And we should be. But that we lovingly communicate honor and respect for one another. And that we listen to one another as well. Maybe you're here today as a more newly married couple. You can say, listen, preacher, I don't know if you were in our house the other night, but, you know, we were having a pretty good argument over there. And it wasn't edifying God and it wasn't uplifting, but, you know, I love my bride. I love my husband. And we don't want to get into those kind of arguments. We've got children. And we don't want them to see that. We don't want them raised in that. We don't want them to then be that way. We want to teach them how to even have differences and yet still lovingly respect one another and honor God. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and say, Lord, would you help us with that? Thank you for that word of warning and reminder today about that. For some of you that are older, you've got children and grandchildren that may be married going through the same thing. Maybe you just need to share some testimonies and truthfully and transparently with them about where when you were younger, maybe more immature in your walk and how you had those same conversations in the same way. But what changed it? What brought it about where now they look to you and they see what they want to be is a husband and wife who loves one another and walks closely with the Lord and with one another and honors him each and every day. You know, the one thing about it is the Lord brings us together. One of the greatest pictures we see of what it means to be the bride of Christ is shown within the context of marriage and how we become one, how we love each other and respect each other. Let us pray. Would you stand? Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this challenge of your word today, Lord, that we would listen to one another. Lord, that we would seek each other, Lord, in a way, Lord, that would honor you. That, Lord, we would honor our spouse. Lord, that we would seek to fight for our marriage, not fight in our marriage, but to fight for our marriage. Lord, seeking to plan those times. Lord, to not only be a godly parent, but, Lord, also to be a godly spouse. And the way to do that is to have times of retreat to be with you, alone and together, Lord, as a couple. And, Lord, we just pray for that in our marriages and pray, Lord, that you will be glorified through them. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.